long enough, prayed long enough to be endued with power. Come on and say yeah. So let me tell the church something. There's only about 10% of us that are going to have the power that comes from praying. Come on and say yeah. Anybody know he's all right? Won't he empower you? Won't he bless you? I say, won't he do it? Come on and see, yeah. Anybody know he's all right? I say, ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Say yes, say yes. Anybody know it? That the Lord is all right. When I say that he's all right, I mean that the Lord is good. I mean that the Lord is fabulous. I mean that the Lord is awesome. And when I say he's all right, you ought to say, yeah, he's all right. Have you tried him? Ain't he all right? Say yes. I know he's all right. I know he's all right. He's all right. Prayer. The first step to revival. We got to pray. If we pray, the devil can't handle us. The devil can't handle a church that's praying. I'm not saying stuff's not going to happen. What I'm saying is that it won't take you over. It won't take you over. You know, and I shared this. I said this on Sunday to our church. I said, you know, we've been glorifying the devil, worrying about what the devil can do. You know, but if you're covered by the blood, he can only do so much. Let me show you how. Because when God sees the blood, remember that? Right. He don't even do anything. He backs up. So what makes you think the devil can cross the blood and do something? He can't cross unless God let him. He couldn't even cross a hedge. How he's going to cross the blood? Job got a hedge around him. I can't touch him. That wasn't even the blood. Jesus hadn't died yet. If God put a hedge around you, and look, the hedge is the blood. The blood. He said, strike it on the doorpost. The problem is we don't put it on our doorpost. We don't put it on our eyes and ears and our mouth. We don't put it on. But God wants us to put it on. Amen? Hallelujah. But we got to get back to praying. Prayer is something that we need to do. If we don't.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord.
Yes,
in Senla, and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Turn them to St. John chapter 16. St. John chapter 16. And when you get to St. John chapter 16, say amen.
Amen.
Father our God, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we thank you afresh for this opportunity to hear your word. Now, Lord, let the perfect teaching, preaching ministry of the Holy Ghost meet us again in the text and then draw out of these words of life those things that he would have us to know, that you have given him to say. And Lord, we'll be ever so careful to give you the praise as he speaks to our hearts. And Lord, then as he empowers us to practice these principles for profit, and we will give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. St. John chapter 16, and I want to commence reading at verse 17. It says, "Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father? They said, therefore, what is this that he saith, A little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do you inquire among yourselves of that I said? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish. For joy that a man is born into the world, and ye now therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. As we look at this overcoming Christ who has paved the way for the overcoming believer, what I think is important is the continuation of our study, the necessity of the Holy Ghost in a believer's life. It is so important that the believer understand how Jesus paved the way of being an overcomer by helping us understand that we must properly be equipped with the essential tools of success, and that includes the Holy Ghost. I don't care what your profession is, your confession is, if you are not equipped with the person and power and presence of the Holy Ghost, you will not be a successful saint on this side of glory. As you look and go back through the beginning of the chapter, we talked about that earlier this morning, so I won't go back into it. I will just, however, show and share you a few points. One is that Jesus said to the believer, don't mistake the reality of this Christian journey. You are going to suffer trials and tribulations. Let's be clear about it. When they recognize that you belong to me and are not of this world, they are going to do some unthinkable things to you. But Jesus wanted them to understand that all of these things were a part of the journey, because it wasn't going to end in trial. It wasn't going to end in tribulation. It wasn't going to end in trouble. It was going to end in triumph. You're going to have to go through something, so get ready for it. And Jesus said, I just wanted you to know before it happened who told you it was going to happen before it happened, so that you would not become offended or disillusioned or think that this journey is more than you can bear and you have no help, no source, nor resources. He said, I wanted to give you a glimpse of the trouble, because if you focus on me, you will have triumph. Now, something else he makes clear, because he wants them to understand that they need the comforter that Jesus is going to send once he leaves. He's preparing them to understand that he's not going to be here much longer. And because he's not going to be here much longer, it is important that they understand that he and the Holy Ghost are working together. That he must leave before the Holy Ghost comes. If he does not leave, the Holy Ghost cannot come. And what he's talking about is the Calvary experience, the resurrection morning experience, or the Easter experience as we call it. And he's talking about getting ready to go back to be with the Father. Now, Hebrews records that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He is on the right hand of the Father. But now while he's up there, 10 days when he re-enters back into heaven, he then sends the Holy Ghost, who is our other comforter, back down on earth. Now, he says the Holy Ghost is going to tell you everything that he hears that's both in heaven and on earth concerning the believer. But he also says that the Holy Ghost is going to guide you into all truth that's both in heaven and on earth. And I wanted to believe to understand that from biblical record, we find that as the Holy Ghost, under the unction of God, led him into the enemy's camp many times to hear the plots and the strategic plans that the enemy had for God's people, he allowed him to hear, then revealed it to the man of God, whom the man of God then revealed it to the king, who then was able to circumvent the plan of the enemy because the Holy Ghost heard what he said in his private places. And don't fool yourself. The Holy Ghost reveals more truth than just what's in the Word. That's why it's necessary to have the Holy Ghost as a part of your experience. And so Jesus is helping them to understand that all of these things are going to happen. And then he tells them something else. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Now right here,
Jesus was saying, listen, if the Holy Ghost is a part of your life and your experience, what he's going to do, because everything that belongs to the Father is mine. Now, at this point, the believer was not in the position that the believer is in today, because at this point, Jesus had not died. At this point, the Holy Ghost had not come to reside and to dwell in man. There had not yet been the Pentecost experience, which now is a past tense reality, and the Holy Ghost is present and indwells the believer's life. So at this point in time, Jesus was telling him, you need to get ready to shout about what the Holy Ghost is going to show you, because later, as they would accept Jesus as Savior and then receive the person and power and presence of the Holy Ghost, the anointing would reveal things that would happen in the future and the blessings that God has in store, because the Bible records that we are heirs with Christ and joint heirs with him. And if everything belongs to the Father, belongs to Jesus, and we are joint heirs with Jesus, then Jesus was going to let the Holy Ghost show you what you really got. In other words, God was going to allow Jesus to leave the Holy Ghost all of those essences of what he has to reveal it unto the believer, so that the believer can really know what he or she was working with. And if you really know what you have at your disposal, you'd stop acting like a wimp. You'd stop acting like some scary Christian. If you really knew who you were in Christ, that would be a holy boldness, that you would take stand upon issues and situations, and you would be the mouthpiece of God as the Holy Ghost unctioned and urged you to. If you really knew who you were and what firepower you had, when they came to get Jesus with their staves and their knives and their torches and all of those things, Jesus wasn't afraid of them in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had already prayed, got connected with God. The Holy Ghost had already come down and strengthened him. And so when they came with all of their weapons, Jesus just looked at him, and Jesus knew what was about to happen, and he didn't freak out. Matter of fact, when he made one step toward them, the Bible said they fell back. Jesus said, it's okay. I ain't gonna hurt you. Don't be scared. Come on, do what you got to do. I know what you got to do. Come on, do it. Then Peter wanna be, he wasn't anointed yet. Ain't had no Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost used him a few days prior to that, and he started thinking he was still under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Pulled out his sword, cut off the high priest's servant's ear. That'll really hurt you bad. And stop the movement. And Jesus told him, Peter, put up the sword. If you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. Man, do you know I have firepower? I can make one call. That's all. And get 12 legions of angels. One legion was 1,000. So he was talking, I could get 12,000 angels. I've shared with you so far in the book of Isaiah, one angel in one night slew 185,000. One angel. And Jesus said, I can call right now and get 12,000 of them. If one angel can slay 185,000, one angel, and 12,000 had the equal power, that would be over 13 billion plus folk. And we ain't got that many folk on planet Earth now or ever. Y'all ain't hearing me here. So he's saying, I've got more power than you know. But listen, that same power that's available to Jesus is also available to you. John picks it up later after the resurrection experience and says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Speaking of Satan and all of his power. Now listen at this. Jesus brings them to the point of the Calvary experience. He's saying, listen, in a little while I'm going to leave you. But then he says, in a little while, you'll see me again. A little while, you're going to be sorry. A little while, you're going to have some joy. A little while, you're going to be offended of me, and you're going to flee, every man to his own house. You're going to leave me alone, but I want you to know I won't really be alone. Just because you leave me don't mean I'm by myself. Just because you flee don't mean the Father has flown. He has said in the word that he God, his father, would be right there with him. He would not flee. He would not leave him. He would not leave him alone. And this comfort he has in knowing the relationship he and the father share. Now look at Jesus, because he's bringing some of this back to their remembrance of things that he said. Verse 17, then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now, isn't that just like a bunch of murmuring saints? Why don't you ask me? The songwriter in the world say, don't ask my neighbor. Don't act like you don't know the song. Do I have to go back and bring you up to date? There are just some things mama can't tell you that I can. Daddy can't tell you that I can. My best friend can't tell you that I can. There are some things, if you want the truth, you got to come to the source. So they ask each other, who's asking each other, what he said. Do you understand me? I don't know what he mean. Do you know what he mean? I don't know what he mean. I ain't never heard that terminology yet, a little while. What's a little while? Does he mean a day? Does he mean a month? What does he mean, a little while? I don't understand this. Now Jesus knows this. Verse 19 says, now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Because what Jesus is explaining, when he's hung up on Calvary's cross, the believers are going to weep and lament for him. They are going to, in the deepest of their souls, agonize and hurt because of what has happened to him. And they will think in that moment they have lost their Savior. But the world is going to rejoice that they have killed this imposter, that they have killed this false prophet, that they have kill this so-called Christ. And so while they are, the people of God, weeping, the people of the world will be rejoicing. Now listen at this. It's going to be a short-lived party for the world. But he's going to show them that while you're going to cry, it won't be for long. And listen at this, because as he's explaining this to them, he says, verse 21, a woman when she is in travail hath sorrow, because her hour is come. Listen, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born, or a human is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow. Listen at this, because he's telling them literally that Jesus' hour has come. And so they are in sorrow now because they're in labor pains right now. Listen at this. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can't take my joy. Now listen, that's believers and unbelievers, because the word says no man. Because I done discovered you got some believers who are trying to take your joy from you. So he says, no man taketh from you. Verse 23, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now listen at what Jesus is saying. He's saying, in that day, once I have gone back to the Father, I will not be physically, humanly, touchable, tangible. I will not be in your presence so you can see me and ask me anything. He says, in essence, you will have a direct connection with God the Father. I have been your go-through up to this point. You didn't have to ask God the Father for nothing, because I asked him for everything for you. He's saying, but I'm stepping out of the picture now, and you will have to ask the Father for yourself. And he goes on later to say, and even when I hear the request, I'm not going to ask him for you. You're going to have to learn to talk with your Heavenly Father like I talk with our Heavenly Father, so you can have relationship and fellowship with him. Now, don't forget now, the Holy Ghost is going to be the other comforter, the other guide, the other helper in this fulfillment of what Jesus is talking about. So notice again what he is saying. Verse 24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. Their joy was full hitherto because they had Jesus asking for them. Everything they had need of, Jesus fulfilled it. So their joy was complete through Jesus. Jesus is saying, now I want you to know what the joy is in being able to ask the Father and getting it or receiving it from him. Yes. You know, it's one thing to have pastor to intercede for you and go to God for you. And you come and you say, well, pastor, I need you to touch and agree and believe God for me for this and that and the other. And I say, okay, my brother, my sister, you know, what is your request? And we go through the word, see if it's founded, see if it's right. Because the Bible says if we have iniquity in our heart, vainness, foolishness, and nothingness, the Lord will not hear us. Ain't no sense in me worse in my prayer just because you want to waste yours. So if it don't line up with scripture, I ain't going to waste my time. I'll tell you, I don't know if that prayer going to make it past the roof, because that ain't right. All right. But if it's right and I touch and agree with you, stand in the gap for you, and then God deliver. It's amazing how folk come and ask me to stand in the gap, and 9 out of 10 times the ones who ask, I can always tell when they get it because they don't come back to say thank you. But the one who didn't get it yet, pastor, you still praying for me, did you? Oh, it hadn't come yet. All right. Then we have to do a checklist, make sure everything is lining up right and so forth, because we've got to do it according to his word. So anyway, but that's scripture, because you remember the 10 lepers, only one came back. Jesus said, didn't I heal 10 of y'all? Well, the 9. They kept on going. Now listen at this, because I want you to see something. He's making a valid point here. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Nothing in my name. Didn't say you didn't ask me nothing. Say you didn't ask nothing in my name. In my authority, by way of your relationship and fellowship, you didn't have to access my account. He says, because I gave you everything. But notice here now, he says, again, ask, comma, and ye shall receive. That your joy may be full. When you can ask the Father and receive directly from the Father, it brings a joy, number one, because you know you were connected. But not only were you connected, but your petition pleased God. And not only did your petition please God, but your faith was intact. And it means that everything that you needed to do was pleasing to God, so much so that God was under warrant, according to his word, to do just what he said. Now, this is what's important. If you know, John talks about this. He says, if you know that when you call him, when you pray, when you ask, when you petition him, that he hears you, you also know then if he's going to hear you, you're going to have what you're asking for. So listen at this, because you know that when you pray, things are in order, you pray with a holy boldness. You go to God not wondering if it's his will. You go knowing it's his will because you have his word, and your prayer is consistent and it aligns itself with God's word. So you say, Father, you said in your word that if I would ask you for anything that is right, that is according to the word, that is what you've ordered and you've assigned for me, that I will receive it. I'm asking and I'm also looking. It ain't no if it be your will, Lord, if it's all right with you, Lord. You know, I can't even pray them non-faith prayers. It's a prayer where you go to God according to his word and know. Wouldn't you pray differently if you knew everything you asked God for, he would give it to you? Wouldn't you pray more often? Y'all gonna catch that when y'all wake up. I mean, think about it now. According to this word, look at what he says again. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. So when you pray, you must pray in Jesus' name. And then you must ask. In the 6th chapter of Matthew, he says, the Father knoweth what you have need of before you ask him. So he knows your needs. You don't have, listen, he knows your needs, he knows your desires, he knows your need list and your desire list, and he knows there's some things on your desire list that ain't on your need list. So when you go to him, you've got to realize that he has both lists. Y'all gonna catch this sooner or later. And you need to tell him, because the word is already made clear that he'll give you your desires also. So don't go there trying to fool him like you try to fool me. Lord, I need this. No, this is not a need. This is a desire.